Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Joe Varden, to talk a little bit of Cleveland Cavaliers and the possibilities with trading Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love and even Colin Sexton. Joe, thanks for joining us today, my friend.
It's amazing the risk that 92.3 continues to take by having Jason happen. And I on the radio at the same time.
Well, we'll see how far we get.
There's a dump button. We're good.
Yeah, you only get 30 seconds, though, and if you guys start saying it back to back to back, it's going to be in trouble.
And that's if I'm paying attention.
Yeah, and so. Kids got to be paying attention.
Good luck.
Usually we do this for 3 hours and we talk about the bonfires we've set all across the United States, but I don't think that's what you guys want to hear today.
Well, kind of do, because Kevin Love seems like he's willing to start one to get himself out of here. Is there a real possibility Kevin Love stays at the end of the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think so, and he certainly did try to get himself out of here. But I don't think that there is a fit across the league for him right now. I don't think it's as much about the Cavs holding out for a certain asking point. I don't think the offers came in. And unfortunately, I think for Kevin, sort of his breaking point where it got ugly about a month ago was probably the final straw for a team going after him now. You know, he's been good. He's been playing better lately. But you still have that contract. You still have some questions about his durability. And then you just saw what happened on the floor. And I just think that was too much. And so I think when you look at Kevin and you think about the Cavs, the next chance here is this summer, when there's going to be teams with cap space and it's a terrible free agency class. And that would probably be the next option for somebody.
Does last night's trade, that big four-team trade with the Rockets and the Nuggets and some other teams, does that change any of the dynamic of what could go on before the deadline when it comes to maybe Tristan Thompson?
I don't think so. I don't know why. When you talk about Covington, I mean, that's the wing that Houston was looking for. And, I mean, where Capella went, I don't think that Tristan was really being considered there. No. I mean, but we'll see. I mean, again, like, if a contender or if somebody who's looking to get Tristan's bird rights, if they want him, you know, sure, they can make an offer now. But if somebody's trying to consider Tristan for next year and they think they can get him at a little bit more of a bargain price, just let this thing go. Because it's not like the Cavs really have leverage here. And so if you are not trying to take him right now to try to get to the finals or whatever it is, he's going to be a free agent. And, you know, it appears he's ready to move on out of Cleveland.
Should I ask you a question I already know the answer to? Where do you have faith in what they're doing, and where is this headed?
Oh, gosh, that is the most loaded question ever.
Yes, I know. That's why I asked you.
Do I have faith in what they're doing and where is this headed? See, the thing is, and you were sitting right next to me when this happened, is in the, you know, let's say September of 2018, we're all sitting there in Kobe's office. And at the time, the company line was, no, we are not going to do a rebuild because rebuilds suck. And they are fraught with dangers and pitfalls, and they don't work, and you got to be super lucky. And so we were hearing like all the downsides of rebuilds because they were trying to sell us on we're gonna finish seventh with Kevin and Kyle Korver and George Hill, and they basically laid out the case for where this was actually headed, which was years of being stuck in the basement and top five or top eight now lottery picks and hoping that you hit the right guy and then you find the right coach and then you take 3 or 4 years for the younger guys that you did draft who were any good to come together, and then maybe you get a free agent, and then, you know. So that's a long way of saying, like, where is this headed? It's headed nowhere fast, and it's going to be a while before they're good. And then I think that part of it is, you know, that they've, and you've kind of said this, and I know you're mulling some stuff, but they're, they haven't hit pay dirt in the draft so far. Like, falling all the way to 8th 2 years ago was tough. They got Colin, and then now with Darius Garland, I mean, you know, they were happy, I think, at the time to get him. It's been a, hasn't been the best first year for him. So I don't know that they're on track to accelerate this thing in any way, shape, or form.
Joe Vardon, join us on the hotline. I have a very uncomfortable question, but it has to be asked because it hasn't been brought up very much at all. You're not going to certainly see this on FSO or any of the discussion about where the Cavs are heading, but who ultimately is going to lead what the direction is and decide the course of action for the entire organization, considering Dan Gilbert has not been back in Cleveland? Nobody's seen him. Is Kobe Altman taking directives from him or his people? I mean, who is the overarching, say, kind of in the presidential role? I know who by name, you know, who the president is and all of that stuff, but who is telling Kobe, hey, pull the plug on this or go ahead?
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to remember that Kobe Altman is the first general manager to ever get an extension from Dan Gilbert. So if there was anybody in the history of Dan Gilbert's ownership who has the authority or leeway to kind of build this thing, it would be Kobe. Now, I don't know what you want him. I mean, what are you going to do? Like you're talking about, like, let's say there's some grand, huge trade that comes up or some huge, like, rerouting of how they want to do this.
Or money, a commitment to money at some point.
Okay, but even right now, like, you know, Jason and I and Fedor were talking about this in the hallway like a week ago. You know, they got a boatload of cap space this year. But are you going to give it to somebody who doesn't deserve it?
That's what I'm nervous about.
You know, so the bottom line is, I mean, Kobe and his people, by and large, are making the decisions day to day. And for the first time, well, not for the first time, since 2017, there is no go-between between the owner and the general manager. There used to be one, and now there isn't. So to the extent that that Kobe has to get approval, he does go through Dan. You know, just so you guys know, I mean, Dan's the recovery obviously is very slow, but I'm told that he's making a speech to some Detroit businessmen this month. So if he's well enough to do that, certainly he's able to check in with Kobe every now and then.
So if Kobe wanted to, let's say, move on, we're hearing about all the behind-the-scenes stuff with Beeline. If there was ever a time when Kobe wanted to move on with him, he would need to still check in with Dan to be able to do something like that?
Yeah, and I don't think there's anybody in the league that would be able to fire the coach without at least asking the owner. And I don't know, like, I wouldn't in any way suggest that Dan is more tied to Beeline than he was to David Blatt, who, by the way, was a finals coach and in first place when Griff fired him. So it's not that, like, Dan Gilbert, for whatever you guys want to say about him, I mean, he does keep an open mind on some of these things. Like, Griff came to him and said, hey, we've got to move on from David Blatt. And, you know, and David Blatt was Gilbert's hire, and he got him to a finals, and he was in first place at the time, and the answer was still yes. So here you've got locker room tumult, inability to make adjustments coming from the head coach, a lack of familiarity with the league, all those things that we've all been writing about and talking about, all those things are there, and you don't see the growth on the floor. I mean, if Kobe wanted to make this pitch to Dan, I don't think it'd be very difficult.
Could they move on from Colin Sexton?
Well, okay, sure. But what are you getting for him? Like, what's the point of that?
I'm just asking.
I don't think that he's the cancer. He's all right. I think he gets, I think in some corners there's too much cheerleading for him, and then in others there's too much bashing. I think he's turned himself into a player that he wasn't in some ways coming out of college, and then also to make more excuses for him. It's hard to drop him in next to Darius, next to Jetty. You know, Kevin's kind of half there. It would be a different story if he had a little bit different cast around him.
Hey, will Tristan Thompson get his jersey retired? This is completely a non sequitur from what we're talking about. But Jason said it, and people go, "What? Huh? Huh?" Go ahead, Joe.
Don't you think, at some point, especially if it's like 10 years from now or whatever.
That's what I said. Not tomorrow, but yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they should, somebody like, you know, I wrote in my Tristan story that Rome is still burning, you know, so there's still a fire here, and emotions are still high and raw and whatever. But 10 years from now and the Cavs are still bad or whatever the case, they haven't gone back to the finals. Someone is going to have to come back and say, we need to honor everybody from that team, and certainly the starters, and certainly a guy like Tristan, we probably should retire the jerseys. I look up in the rafters now and look at some of the numbers, you know, not to take anything away from them, but, I mean, I wouldn't mind adding Tristan to that, certainly along with LeBron and absolutely with Kyrie. I cannot believe that they handed that number to Colin. Regardless of how the exit went down. I mean, he hit the most important shot in your team's history. So yes, I think at some point this, you know, the water will heal the wounds and we'll get to honoring these guys.
So how much different is this team going to look in a week or 2 weeks? Factoring in trades, buyouts, whatever else. How much different do you think this team's going to look in a week or two compared to what it is this morning?
Yeah, so, I think it's more likely than not that Tristan gets traded. Like, I'm not saying it's 80-20, but I just think it makes sense for them to try to get something from him. And then I think you're going to see one of those, like, ancillary pieces. Like, really, like, maybe it's Delly, although he's had a terrible year, I get that. But maybe it's Henson as a 15th guy rim protector. Maybe it's God. I just said Brandon. I mean, the thing about Brandon Knight is I did have that. I did have a scout walk up to me and say, "I like him. They just don't really play him that much." So they have all these guys on expiring deals. Some of them are veterans, and you just want. I mean, the Cavs would do anything to move any of them. Those guys. So I think the team looks a little different. I don't see buying Tristan out. That I don't know. I mean, I guess they could do that. I guess if they've decided there's no way he's coming back and they can't trade him. But in that case, why wouldn't you take the second round pick you're getting an offer for? I think Tristan more likely than not, and then maybe one of those other guys.
Joe Vardon with us, just kind of wrapping this up. I know that you've been taking more of a national approach this year, and I know they're talking about all sorts of changes and scheduling. They're doing things that are different with the 3-point contest. I know it's been a rough year for the NBA in terms of ratings and now the Kobe stuff. Is this league really kind of on thin ice? Are people walking on eggshells around the NBA offices right now with everything the NBA, or do they think they just need to get past this year, get the Golden State thing going again, they got Zion, and everything will be okay?
I mean, I think the league is, you know, the politically correct thing to say is the league is always cognizant of its surroundings in the present and its trajectory. I think overall the league feels good about where it's headed. This has been a disastrous year on so many different levels. And I do, you know, when you look at some of the things that they've been talking about the mid-season tournament, which is nonsense, and even some of the stuff with the All-Star game, which is a good cause. It's coming from the right place. Honor Kobe, but the changes seem silly. So that is what makes me worried more than anything, is that they're trotting out these ideas to quote fix things, and the ideas aren't very good. You know, you could also make a case that you'd be worried if they were just kind of standing pat and keeping the status quo. But yeah, I mean, the China thing was bad. It's cost them a lot of money. I think the biggest problem, though, continues to just be the regular season and injuries and how they do their TV schedule. And I'm not saying I have the best alternative, but they sent out this awesome national TV schedule. They spend months doing it. And then within a week, Zion Williamson and Steph Curry undergo surgeries and totally wrecks the entire national schedule. Entire. And like that really hurt this league. I mean, now you had 3 or 4 months of watching the Zionless Pelicans on national TV. I mean, that stinks. And it happened to him last year with LeBron. So, you know, LeBron being on the West Coast has not helped the NBA at all. And it, of course, it ruined Cleveland as well, which ruins the market. So I think that is the bigger issue, more so even than China.
Joe, 20 seconds. What's the worst take you've ever heard from fans?
Oh, my God. You know what? I think people who complain about the Tristan contract are just short-sighted. And the same with the JR deal. And I know they're clutch guys, but you had to pay them. And they brought you to the finals all those years, and they won you one in 16. So, you know, right. They deserve that money.
Joe, we thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
The great Joe Varden. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 216-578-0092. Break that down just in a second. And he's one of the most recognizable players in the league. But Odell is at a crossroads. It's Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, and the adequate Jason Lloyd on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.